Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, utterly and doubly outclassed today. Many days I am outclassed by the guests, but two of them today. So I will do my very best to keep up. We're going to talk about pro-life issues this hour. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk about why we're pro-life, and you are welcome to call if you want to get in on that conversation, 888-318-7884. Whatever your question is, having to do with the pro-life movement, having to do with why we're pro-life, maybe you got a strategy question. We got two of the best this hour, 888-318-7884. As a matter of fact, if somebody said to me, you could pick anybody to go on, MSNBC and defend the pro-life position, these two would be my number one and my number two. These are choice number one and choice number two. Now I don't know who I should introduce first. I guess I'll introduce Stephanie first because she's the guest from the farthest away. Stephanie Gray Connors, our guest this hour. She's the author of very fine books, including Conceived by Science, which is about thinking carefully and compassionately about infertility and IVF. She's the author of Start With What? 10 Principles for Thinking About Assisted Suicide, but is known most for the phrase, Love Unleashes Life. That's her book, Love Unleashes Life, Abortion and the Art of Communicating Truth. Stephanie Gray Connors, thank you for being with us.
You are welcome. You know, I was going to give you a hard time for saying you're number one and number two and say, well, which one am I and which one is Trent?
I could not divulge. But you're number one, Stephanie. Our other guest.
I'm just glad I made it to number two. I think I've been at number five for a long time now.
With a bullet, Trent. Number two with a bullet. Oh, maybe people don't know what that means anymore. I should probably explain that. But first of all, let me introduce our other guest, Trent Horn, of course, a great apologist for the faith and a great apologist for human life and its care in every stage. Trent Horn, the author of Persuasive Pro-Life, among many other things, and he does the Council of Trent over at TrentHornPodcast.com. Thanks for being with us, Trent.
Thank you for having me.
Do you know what number two with a bullet means? Why we say with a bullet? Do you have any idea? You are so young.
I've heard it in songs before,
yes,
but I don't know the meaning.
Okay, so like if you got on the charts back in the 60s or something and your song was going up, like, you know, today it was number 42, tomorrow it's 38, and then it goes, if it's just going right up the charts, you'd say, you know, number 38 with a bullet, meaning it's shooting right up the charts like a bullet. So there was not a violent reference. I didn't want you to feel that it was a violent reference.
That makes sense to me. I think it might be referenced in a Fallout Boy song, so I'm going to have to check to see because, yeah.
Oh, which one? Because I think I know the lyrics to all the Fallout Boys songs. Is it Fallout Boy or Fallout Boys?
Fallout Boy in the singular.
Yeah, and I know I love his music. Is it him? All right. 888-318-7884, the number. Trent, let's just start with you. You wrote the book. It's called Why We're Pro-Life. Why'd you do it, and what's it about?
Right, so Why We're Pro-Life is really more of a booklet, and it's written in the spirit of my other book, Why We're Catholic. So I wrote Why We're Catholic to be a succinct defense of Catholicism that you could really give to anybody. And that is something that I wanted to real replicate for pro-life, you know, have something that explains why we're pro-life, but written in a tone that you could really give to anyone. And so it's written in a non-religious tone until the very end, and it covers the scientific and philosophical evidence for the pro-life view. So I'm very happy with it, and I really hope that it'll be something we can give away to a lot of people.
And that's the apostolate is devoted to giving it away free and also defending it in the public sphere. Say some reporter calls up and says, why'd you do this? And can we have somebody on our show to talk about it? And one of the people who will be helping us do that, probably the main person helping us do that, is Stephanie. Stephanie, you got it. You didn't get a paper copy. We haven't sent you a paper copy yet, but you've gotten the electronic copy. What did you think when you read it?
Oh, it's excellent. And what I appreciate about it is, as Trent has pointed out, that it's concise because we are living in a Twitter culture, right, where people want things, you know, in a short soundbite. And of course, you can't distill the pro-life message down to a tweet length, but we don't have to go on and on at Bible length in terms of proclaiming why abortion is wrong and we ought to protect preborn children. So it does an excellent job of really communicating the pro-life message clearly and succinctly.
Now, either of you can take this, but do you think it's the kind of thing? I mean, I would think if I'm running a pro-life ministry where I'm trying to help people come to the pro-life position, I could order a few thousand of these and give them out at events and share. Does that make sense to you both, that they can just so easily be, and you can order them. I'm going to read the script in a minute about how people can order them, but it just seems like a no-brainer. If I was pro-life, I'd just put these out.
Absolutely. And again, because of its short length, that makes it something very easy for groups to order en masse and distribute. And because it really covers the fullness of the pro-life perspective, it goes through the hard cases, it addresses rape, it addresses the circumstance of the woman's life being in danger. And as Trent has pointed out, just talking about the science of when life begins, human rights, and so forth. Of course, he can dive into all that even more, having written it, but I definitely want to really throw my endorsement out there that groups should be ordering this and distributing it far and wide.
That must be a thrill for you, Trent. I mean, you already wrote the most popular book that Catholic Press has ever printed. This is, I mean, we have some things that we have done before that have had the millions of them given away, including Pillar of Fire, Pillar of Truth.
I apologize, Cy. I've lost audio in my headphones, so unfortunately, I can't hear if you ask me a question.
Okay, no, I'm just waving. I'm just waving and saying hi.
Now you're kind of back.
I'm really enjoying. Oh, now I got back on that. That came back. This has got to feel good to you, Trent, that this is probably going to be in the millions that we'll get out of these.
No, I'm just nodding. Yes, it does feel good. Whatever you ask me, I'm hearing about three or four different people talking. But you stayed in the group side. No worries.
Well, all right, we got to get that straightened out. The number is 888-318-7884. If you have questions about why we're pro-life, either the booklet or just the fact that we're pro-life and why we are, 888-318-7884. Stephanie, I'm sure people have asked you this. What do you say when someone just says, why are you pro-life?
Mm-hmm. I say I'm pro-life because I believe in human rights, because I believe all humans are equal. And as a result of our equality, then we all ought to be treated with respect. And that means from the youngest to the oldest to everyone in between. And so the question then becomes, are preborn children humans like all of us who have human rights? And if the answer is yes, which science teaches us the answer is yes, then it follows that preborn children have the same right to life that you or I have.
Again, 888-31-TRUTH is the number. I think I'm going to go right to a caller. I'm expecting lots of calls today. So let's start with Holly in Indiana, watching on YouTube. Holly, we're glad you're here to start us off. Go ahead with your question. And I think you might get an answer from Stephanie, because I think we're still working on Trent. But whatever is the case, go ahead with the question, Holly.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So my question is, how do you respond to a pro-choicer who is able to answer the question, what are the unborn, correctly, but still persists in their pro-choice ideology?
That's a good question. And when I find people will admit the preborn child is indeed a human being, but they still embrace abortion, is you can go a couple directions. One is to say, okay, would you say a toddler is a human being? Yes. Would you ever say there's a circumstance in which someone may end the life of a toddler? And if they say no, then we can say, well, even though you say preborn children you believe are human beings, if you allow them to be killed in some circumstances, but don't allow toddlers to be killed in those same circumstances, that's telling me you don't really believe what you're claiming. And then you can go down that path. The second angle or approach you could come from is to ask them where their passion comes from, when they first developed this view. Because if someone can claim that preborn children are human beings, are members of the human family, but then follow that up with, I still support abortion, that tells me more often than not, it's a emotional perspective they're coming from, not an intellectual one. And so asking where their passion comes from, when they first embrace this perspective, might cause them to reveal things like, I had an abortion, my mom had an abortion, I drove a friend to an abortion clinic, I was silent when my friend asked me for her opinion, for my opinion on abortion, or whatever excuse they give. And then that emotional attachment to an individual who has embraced abortion is what could bring them to the perspective of embracing abortion, even if they claim they embrace the science of life beginning of fertilization.
Okay, Holly?
Yeah, that sounds good. Thank you.
Holly, are you active in talking with pro-choice folks and about this issue and trying to help them come to the pro-life position?
I've done a little bit of pro-life work. I was kind of more before the pandemic. It's more just seeing posts from people online and things like that. And this is one that either myself or my husband has heard come up. And so we were talking about it and neither one of us had a good answer. So we wanted to see what you guys thought.
Well, Holly, thanks. If you'd like a copy, we'll be happy to send you. We haven't even sent Stephanie a paper copy yet, but we'll send you a paper copy. And if you feel like I'd give a few of them away, you know, if you want to ask for 5 or 10, I'm sure that Edgar can get them to you. So just hang on. We'll send you Why We're Pro-Life if you like. There's lots more calls, but I have to take the first break. We'll take that break and be right back with two of the very best, Stephanie Gray Connors and Trent Horn, on Why We're Pro-Life on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live. Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
I don't like looking back. I prefer to look forward and keep moving forward. There's plenty to cover. I do a lot of research and try to dig out the bits and pieces of a life or of an agenda that people don't want to talk about.
The World Over with Raymond Arroyo, Thursday night, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Radio and Television.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Why We're Pro-Life. This hour and next hour, it's an exciting day for us here at Catholic Answers, a project near and dear to the hearts of everyone here, including our president, who went out and raised a whole bunch of money so that we could give this book away free, this little booklet away free. A very direct answer to the question, why we're pro-life. It'll help you make the argument. It'll help others make the argument and maybe help some come to see the sense of the argument. Our guests this hour are Stephanie Gray Connors and Trent Horn. Before I go back to them, I want to let you know we want you to partner with us in this nationwide effort to save souls through the distribution of Why We're Pro-Life. Why We're Pro-Life addresses the legal and cultural landscape of the post-Roe world. Why We're Pro-Life avoids the common charge that abortion is just a church-state issue. Why We're Pro-Life strikes a reasonable tone of peaceful dialogue, much needed during this time, and we'd love to get it to you for free. Here's how you can do that. Sign up your parish or pro-life organization to receive free cases of Why We're Pro-Life at whyweareprolife.com. whyweareprolife.com. If you've been waiting for the right outreach to come your way before making a gift, this is it. The fact is, this is much more than an outreach. It's a mission. Join Catholic Answers in getting this out. We'd be happy to donate it to you. And if you want to support the effort, of course, you can make a donation to help Catholic Answers do that. Everything collected will go towards this effort. It's not going into the general coffers. whyweareprolife.com. whyweareprolife.com. Stephanie and Trent, thank you both for remaining here with us. Trent, I gather we've got you nice and clear with us now.
I hope so. You sound nice and clear to me.
All right. Well, that's a rarity for me to be nice and clear, but I'll take it. I'm going to go with to Christina in Indiana next. She's listening on Catholic Radio Indy. Christina, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Stephanie and Trent.
Hi,
Chris.
Sorry, I was just switching you from speaker to my phone.
Oh, you're my hero. Thank you, Christina, for doing that.
Appreciate it. So thank you so much for hosting this. And I had a question about how we educate our young ones about pro-life. So I have a troop of girls, and I was approached by the church to kind of help them understand or help them in the, you know, with pro-life. They are about 9, and I also have, you know, another younger daughter, and I just wondered how, when or how do you start having these discussions? Because I feel like the world kind of throws the anti-pro-life, you know, at them all the time.
Yeah.
So just suggestions on how one might approach that or...
Okay. Christina, we got that. Either of you can take that or both.
Well, if it's, is your question, Christina, how to talk to young girls or it's children? You said they were 9 and what was the other age?
9 and 14. So my 14-year-old, I've already started to talk to her about that. She was approached by another girl asking her if she was pro-life or not. And it did not go well in terms of the other person got kind of angry at my daughter for her stance on it.
Okay.
So we had discussions on that, but maybe more so even the younger girls. I'm not sure when it would be, you know.
Yeah, well, Stephanie has more is a lot more experience in being a young girl than I have. So maybe I'll throw it over to her to give some thoughts. And maybe
Thank
I'll
you
chime
for clearing
in
that
there.
Up, Trent. Stephanie.
Sure. Actually, I'm happy to wade in on this. What's coming to mind is that I remember once hearing a pro-life speaker talk about different ages that children go through developmentally and when they learn about things at those ages. And I recall her talking about the age of 9 as a particularly significant time because that's when children have a strong sense of justice and correspondingly injustice. And so what they learn at that age can leave a lasting impression. And if I think about it, my own growing up years involved really always knowing about the pro-life message as far back as I can remember because my parents were activists in the pro-life movement. So when they would go to rallies and conferences, I would go with them. When my mom volunteered at the Pregnancy Care Center, I went with her. And I started writing letters to public representatives back in Canada where I used to live and grew up when I was 11 and 12 years old. And my formation in pro-life happened before I started doing that letter writing. So I think it's very worthwhile and important to talk to both of your daughters and start to take them to activities with you that you're going on and then discuss with them afterwards. Another thought that comes to mind again about that pivotal age of 9 is one of my dear friends is Lila Rose, who's a very significant activist in the pro-life movement. And a significant turning point for her was when she was 9 years old and she came across a book on her parents' bookshelf, which was by the Wilkies, Mr. and Mrs. Wilkie, on abortion. And that left a lasting impact on her and very much influenced the pro-life activism she also began in her young years. So I would say take your daughters to activities and discuss why you're doing it and what happened at it and what their thoughts are from it.
Christina, I'm going to let that stay there because there are lots and lots of folks who would like to talk with Stephanie and Trent, but thank you very much. I hope that that was helpful to you. If you would like a copy of the book, or copies to give out. Just stay on the line. Edgar will get your address and we'll send those out to you. Thanks. Just let him know how many you want. Thanks, Christina. George in Iowa is next watching on YouTube. George, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Stephanie and Trent.
Yes. So I'm wondering, seeing as now it has been done and Roe has been overturned, what are you going to do about these horrors that have been unleashed upon America? Like it's literal horror. Because these intellectual discussions and philosophical arguments and questions of principle, these are not softening the blow that red states have inflicted, because you have people making laws who don't even know what an ectopic pregnancy is, because they don't care, and they're going to say, we're going to make sure that no doctor can do anything to protect a woman from dying from a pregnancy, and if they do argue it, we're going to go
George?
After them.
Are you okay? I want to hop in here, George. You're kind of throwing a lot out there. Can you give me an example of a politician who's making a law that the politician doesn't know what an ectopic pregnancy is? Do you have a specific example?
I'm afraid I don't have the citation for the exact Republican representative that I saw.
Then how do you know this is happening?
How do I know that it's happening?
Yeah.
Would you want... Okay. Women are being... Are you aware of the chilling effect, Trent? Do you know what I mean? When Republicans they are going after doctors who protect women and save their life from pregnancies that are going badly. Women are getting septic in Texas. A woman lost her womb because of an infection.
George, let me ask you a question then. So it sounds like you have a concern about abortion being made illegal because in some cases, maybe an innocent person will be caught up in prosecutions, like a doctor who's doing something licit, like facilitating a miscarriage or treating an ectopic pregnancy. So I have a response and then a question for you. My response is that the claims that pro-life laws do not allow doctors to treat ectopic pregnancies. The reason I asked for a specific example from you is this is a talking point spouted in the media, but like many talking points in the media, it's just simply inaccurate. There's an article at National Review by Alexandra DeSantis published last July called How Every State Pro-Life Law Handles Ectopic Pregnancy. And they do allow for medical interventions to treat ectopic pregnancy. Even Planned Parenthood admits treating an ectopic pregnancy is not abortion. The two are not the same thing. Then I have a question for you. So my question, going back, so you'll see how it relates to abortion, George, is this. Do you agree that it is good to have laws against child abuse, even though sometimes innocent parents are unjustly accused of abuse? Do you agree it's good to have laws against child abuse, even if the laws are applied incorrectly in some cases? Would you agree it's good to have laws against child abuse?
Yes.
Even if there are these minority cases where the law is applied unjustly?
Yes.
Okay. Then wouldn't it follow we should have similar laws against unborn child abuse?
That's not the same thing, Trent.
Why is it not the same?
Because you're causing a chilling effect, because this isn't pro-life. None of this, that's my point. You're not pro-life.
George, do you think any abortions should be illegal?
I believe that it is the woman's decision.
To do what?
How do you know? Listen, you're going to have death panels where hospitals are going to cover their rear
ends. George, do you think a woman should be able to decide to kill her baby after it's born? Like if she didn't know she was pregnant and just gives birth at home? Should it be her choice?
Why are you asking that? Why?
Because I need to know what kind of moral compass you have.
What are we talking about?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. In order for me to know.
You're trying to do a reduction to absurdity. Oh, well, can you just. Do it at any point of someone's life. We're talking about abortion. We're talking about bodily autonomy. I have a question for you.
What is abortion, George?
If you hit someone with your car, should the state force you to fuse your circulatory systems to keep that person alive, your victim, even though it's your fault?
No, because my circulatory system isn't made for anyone else, and I am, and in doing that, I would just be choosing not to save that person. The analogy you're looking for would be more like if I donated a kidney to somebody, should I be allowed to violently rip it out of them and kill them in the process? That is closer to what abortion is, rather than the fanciful example you're giving with the car accident. Even more so, it's not like that. That, as Stephanie has written in a wonderful article for Ethics and Medics called "A Kidney Versus a Uterus." I think that's the title. I'm probably botching it. But
no,
what
right.
she shows, what she writes in that article is that we expect parents to care for their children, but parents don't have to do super erogatory things. Like if my child is starving, I don't have to cut off my arm and grill it on a barbecue to save his life. But a little baby has the right to the food and shelter he needs to live. Whether that's the right to nurse from his mother's breasts, if that's the only thing that will keep him alive, or the right to food and shelter within the womb. No one has a right to my kidneys because my kidneys were made for me, not for anybody else. But for whom is the uterus made? Well, clearly it's for the child. If the child has any rights at all, he has a right to the one organ designed to sustain his life. So, but if you'd like more clarification on that argument, you can check out Stephanie's article. I also cite it in my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, and I expand on it actually in the second edition that's going to come out in a few months. But it was great talking to you. But as Cy said, we have a lot of other callers on the line. Looking forward to getting to them as well. But thanks for calling in.
George, I would like to make the same offer I made to the others. If you'd like it, if you'd be interested in why we're pro-life, we'd be happy to send you a copy of the booklet, Why We're Pro-Life, that we are now promoting. If you want it, just stay on the line and we'll send it to you. You're always welcome to call back. A fascinating conversation, and we do appreciate the call. There are lots of folks on the line. We'll continue with Why We're Pro-Life. Your call's welcome right after this on Catholic Answers Live. The recent decision by the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade was a monumental victory for the pro-life movement. But the fight is far from over. With our new booklet, Why We're Pro-Life, we have produced the perfect tool to prepare you to have peaceful and convincing conversations to shed light on the truth about human life from conception to natural death. Catholic Answers is printing millions of copies of this booklet, and we plan simply to give them away. You can help us in two ways. First, by generously supporting this project. 25 cents prints one book. $2,500 prints 10,000, and so on. Second, by helping us distribute the booklet through your parish, your school, or the pro-life ministry you work with. Catholic Answers is going to blanket the country with Why We're Pro-Life, but only if you step up and help us. Thank you so much. For more information, visit whywearepro-life.com.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity in The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
What if the voice of your deepest doubts about Catholicism rose up in the form of a human being and challenged you to defend your most foundational beliefs? That's the task apologist Trent Horn took upon himself in his new book, Devil's Advocate, a dialogue with his own best objections against the faith that he professes and defends. You can stand up against your doubts, and Trent will show you how. Pick up your copy of Devil's Advocate today at shop.catholic.com or at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Our guests are Stephanie Gray Connors and Trent Horn, both of whom are here to talk about both the pamphlet that we have out, or the booklet, I should say, Why We're Pro-Life, which we're giving out. We're going to give out at least a million copies of it free. And if we can do more than a million, we'll do more than a million. The author of that booklet is Trent Horn. And now, I'm so happy that Stephanie is here for this, because this really shows the true majesty of what we are doing here at Catholic Answers Live. We have a question for you from TikTok, and I hope you're ready for this. And this is a little bit of a segment that we like to call TikTok Squawk. Go ahead, Thomas.
Sorry, I just want you to know, and I want the listeners to know, on this segment, when I ask a question from TikTok, I will usually go back in, grab the clip, and then turn it into a TikTok video on its own. And I just want you to know, Cy, that I never include the part where you say
the name?
A different segment name every single time.
But this is, I finally got a good one. TikTok Squawk. That's good.
Maybe we'll
it's got a little rhyming.
Maybe we'll let the viewers decide this time.
Let Stephanie answer the question, Thomas.
But yeah, Stephanie, thanks so much for showing up today and agreeing to do this. This was a question that was not asked of us directly, but I saw it floating around a lot on the platform, especially in the wake of Dobbs. And it was essentially saying, you know, I'm not pro-murdering babies. I'm pro this woman in this tough situation, this woman whose life is being threatened, this woman who was raped and was not expecting to be pregnant. And so how would you answer someone who comes up to you with, I'm not pro-murdering babies, I'm just pro-women in tough pregnancies who don't have a choice?
Again, like the other caller I spoke to, I think there's a number of directions we can go in. So one direction is to say, okay, if you're not pro-murdering babies, what is abortion? And get them to define that. If you believe in not murdering babies, when does a baby's life begin? Would you be against anyone murdering a baby's life after birth? If yes, okay, what about a day before birth? What about a month before birth? And keep moving back in order to get that person to basically draw their line in the sand and then see what that line is based on in order to expose the holes in their thinking and in their argument. When they speak about not being pro-murdering babies because they're in favor of supporting a woman in crisis, we can agree with them. So the other angle we want to take is to say, hey, I have common ground with you. I agree that we need to support women in crisis, that we need to have compassion for people who have been victimized. The question is, when we have compassion for someone, when we support someone, are there certain ways we can support them that are unethical and other ways that are ethical? And then you can make an analogy after asking that question. And so the analogy you can say is, look, let's imagine someone is parenting their newborn baby and they are stressed out. Their baby is screaming all the time. They feel like they're going crazy. Do you have compassion on that new parent? Absolutely. Do you want to support that new parent? Absolutely. Now let's imagine you supported them by bringing them a meal. I think that's great. Or imagine you supported them by saying, hey, do you want to just sit in another part of the house and read a book while I hold your baby who's screaming? I think that's great. What if another option you suggested to support this person was to say, look, let me just beat your baby until they stop crying? Suddenly, the person you're speaking with is going to say, that might make the baby stop crying, but that's not ethical. You're doing harm to try to help the mom get a break from her stress of being completely overwhelmed by this new child. And so that analogy can be a way to make it clear that we can have compassion, but not every approach we take to help someone is going to be ethical. The third option I just gave is clearly unethical. The first two are ethical. So when a woman is in a crisis pregnancy and she doesn't have support, maybe she's conceived as a result of sexual assault, we support her through the pregnancy. We connect her to pregnancy care centers, pregnancy homes even where she can live. We help her plan for life after birth, whether that means she needs support parenting her child or she may opt for adoption. But if one of the options we give her is to commit homicide on an innocent child, that clearly isn't ethical, just as it wouldn't be if we offered homicide for that born child I gave in my example.
Great. Thank you, Stephanie. That hit all the major points, I thought.
And you're going to put that on TikTok?
Minus your part, yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Thomas. Let's go back to the phones. Our guests are Stephanie Gray Connors and Trent Horn. All the phones just went blank on me. I don't know what happened. Every single call just dropped. That's all right. I'll read some of the questions because we do have that part didn't drop. The entire phone system just went out. I was going to give you the number, but I'll wait to make sure they tell me the phone system is back to working. This question came from Don in Omaha. You know what? I'm going to let Don. Actually, Don's question is something that Don has to ask himself. So we'll let Don ask that. Ashley in Miami, watching on YouTube, asked, and I'm sorry, Ashley, we weren't able to get you on the show with Stephanie and Trent, but Ashley called and asked, how do we approach a situation if the priest at our parish doesn't have the same intensity to tackle this issue that the two of you have?
I'll give a cutesy answer. To help him to better engage the pro-life issue, you might have to take baby steps with him. So there, I have I couldn't help myself. But I would say, honestly, I think a lot of priests, if you're like, oh, why doesn't he have the intensity to tackle this? Look, it depends what you mean by it. They're usually really anxious, knowing that if they speak on a controversial issue like divorce after remarriage after divorce, contraception, abortion, homosexuality, that there are hurting people in the pews in front of him. And he's most of the time he's concerned that what he's going to say will further cause pain to them. And he might feel like it's not worth it. And he just doesn't want to stir the pot as much. So I think providing him ideas, saying, hey, I'd love to volunteer and do a baby bottle drive to help the local pregnancy center, starting with things that are very innocuous. Could we have a pro-life speaker come to give a talk after mass, someone who's vetted from the diocese, for example, that's been highly recommended, someone like Steph or myself or many others like that that a pro-life officer would recommend. And then also just, you know, just suggesting those ideas, say, hey, we'd love to do this. Could we volunteer for that? And then, you know, maybe offering to have literature, like to give him a copy of my booklet, Why We're Pro-Life, saying, could we have these to give out to people after a Mass and Respect Life Month, for example? And then pray for your priest. Pray for him to have the words to reach others, that he'll know that maybe the easiest thing he can do is just to be able to offer people, hey, if you're really hurting from an experience with abortion, come see me in confession. Come see me in my office. The church is here to help you. I mean, I'm not an expert in how to help necessarily at this level, but I think if you start bit by bit and pray for them, you can make a lot of progress.
Ashley, I'll say thanks very much for the call. I'm sorry that we weren't able to give you on. Stephanie, did you want to add anything? Or because the phones are working and I can go back to the phones now.
I thought it was a great answer, so let's hear from more people.
Let's go. You know what? Don, who I mentioned before in Omaha, Nebraska, is first back on the line, of course, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Don, thank you for calling back. I'm sorry that we had that problem. Go ahead with your question for Stephanie and Trent.
That's okay. I appreciate it. I have a friend who grew up without a dad. He bounced around between his mom, his aunt, and his grandparents, and he's an atheist, right? And so when Roe versus Wade was overturned, we were talking, and he said something to the effect that if he would have been aborted, the world wouldn't be any different. There'd be nothing there. I mean, the world wouldn't be any different. And the only thing I could come up with at the time was that, well, I feel like I'm better because you're in my life, and I had nothing else. And I just wanted to know if you had something else because, you know,
I got to say, Don, I love your answer. I don't know what Stephanie and Trent are going to say, but I love it. Stephanie?
Yeah, I mean, I think you took the right approach. You spoke to how he has impacted you. And that's often where it begins for people whose sense of self-worth is so low that they think their presence in the world is insignificant, is to be able to let them know they are significant and to be specific. So maybe even you could bring the conversation up again and say, I've been thinking even more. And this is what I said when you first made your comment. There are more ways that you've really positively impacted my life. Remember when, and there was this other time, and actually maybe take it to prayer to have memories that you can bring up in that conversation of all the positive ways that he has influenced you in order to then ask him to consider his comment in light of that. And how would he feel not being in your life because of abortion? And then to ask him if there's anyone in his life who he believes he is bettered by their presence. You know, don't say, is it me? You know, but to see what answer he gives. Maybe it is those grandparents. Maybe it's the mother. Maybe it's some friend. Who knows? But the point is to start to get him thinking through the exchange of people that have blessed him so that he can see, even if he can't see his own self-worth yet, and even if he's not ready to fully receive his own self-worth with your validation, which is certainly very important, maybe if you can get him to start to see other people's value to his life, then he can see, okay, it's all about what do I do with this gift of my life? Do I do damage and hurt people with it, or do I be a blessing to people? Trent, you can add more if you'd like.
No, I think that's a great answer. I definitely agree.
What do you think, Don?
Well, I think that's a good idea to try to reference other people in his life who have, well, what would you do without that person? How would you feel if that person wasn't there?
I'm glad that was helpful to you, Don. If you'd like a copy of the book, Why We're Pro-Life, or if you'd like copies of the book, Why We're Pro-Life, we'd be happy to send them to you. Just hang on and we'll get you connected with Edgar, and he can send them off to Nebraska. Easy as pie, we can get it to Nebraska. And we'd be happy to do that if you'd like them. There are more calls on the line, but I have to take a quick break. So if you all will just be patient with me for a minute, we'll take this very brief break and be back with Why We're Pro-Life with Stephanie Gray Connors and Trent Horn on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
This is Toya Hall, Vice President of the Guadalupe Radio Network. Catholic Radio has the power to transform people's lives by proclaiming the fullness of truth with love and clarity. Catholic Radio equips the faithful to address the problems that face our world today and from a uniquely Catholic perspective. Daily doses of Catholic Radio helps to build strong and faithful souls for Holy Mother Church.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio. Now more than ever.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're so excited here at this apostolate, at this ministry, which is another word for apostolate, Catholic Answers, to be able to give out this book because we have generous donors who have made it possible, and we have a president who decided we're just going to do this because, I don't know if you've heard, but Roe versus Wade was overturned, and now the struggle is on for hearts and minds. The main court battle of our lifetime has been won, and now we need to win hearts and minds so that we can win all the other political and personal battles that are needed to be won in order to bring true love and respect for human life in all of its stages. The booklet is called Why We're Pro-Life. It was written by Trent Horn. Stephanie Gray Connors has been generous enough to help us to promote it, and she'll be doing interviews and things for us in defense of life, and you really can't get better than these two. So if you'd like copies, you can go to whywearepro-life.com. Whywearepro-life.com. If you have a pro-life ministry that could use these, if you got a parish that could use them, if you got a school that could use them, God bless you for the work that you do. And we've arranged for them to get to you for free. We'd love to get them to you. The number is 888-318-7884. I'm going to go straight to Birmingham, Alabama. Mary in Birmingham, Alabama, listening on the EWTN app. We're glad you're here, Mary. Go ahead with your question for Stephanie and Trent.
Hey guys, I'm a huge fan. I've probably heard every word you've ever uttered, and I want to distribute this book because I do distribute materials at my parish, but I thought there was a typo, and I wanted to ask, it's on page 16, and it says that the babies don't feel pain until around 20 weeks old. I thought it was way earlier, like 12 weeks, because you can see them trying to move away from the instruments on that silent screen video. Mm-hmm. And I don't want anybody to think that, you know, they could have that window.
And this is an important part of humanizing the baby, although the most important thing, I'm sure, is just letting people know what the science tells us. But, Trent, what do you want to say about that?
Right. So the reason that I cited that in there is that the debate over whether unborn children feel pain, that is actually a difficult question to answer. Because pain is a subjective experience, right? You know, you normally, in order to see whether something is painful for somebody, we have to ask them, does this hurt or not? Because there are some people who, you know, you'll give them a painful stimuli and it doesn't hurt them at all. For other people, it can be very painful. So they have to respond and tell you it hurts or it doesn't hurt. And so when it comes to unborn children, obviously they can't tell us that. So we have to make those inferences indirectly. The reason that I said in the booklet that it's probably not until 20 weeks is that that's where a lot of the scientific consensus seems to be. There are some studies and research coming out recently that may push it back as early as 12 weeks. But I picked 20 weeks because states that have tried to pass laws to protect children from painful abortions, laws like the Pain Capable Unborn Child Protection Acts. There are states and others have tried to pass these laws saying you can't abort children who can feel pain. Those laws have set the limit at 20 weeks based on the most scientific evidence that can be marshaled. You might have some evidence for pain at 12 weeks, but you have a lot more evidence for 20 weeks. And so I just tend to be very conservative in the evidence I put forward for my positions. However, I also make it clear in that article that even if unborn children could feel pain from the moment of conception, that would not be an argument against abortion, even if they could feel pain. Because dogs and cats, that would only be an argument for painless abortions. Because dogs and cats feel pain, but we still euthanize them. We just make sure to do it in a painless way. So abortionists, if there was a problem, they might just switch to a more painless procedure with an anesthetic, and it would still be wrong. I agree that noting that unborn children can feel pain can help people to question abortion. The reason I put 20 weeks is there is that that's where if I had to go and argue this in public, I could make a pretty strong case for 20 weeks, not as strong for 12, just to make that fact. But then I point out that the question of feeling pain is irrelevant to the wrongness of abortion or killing, because, you know, you can kill a rat that feels pain. And there are born people in reversible comas, the disabled, who can't feel pain, and it's wrong to kill them. So it's not essential to the question of whether you have a right to life or not. But there you go.
Mary, I'd love to make it a longer conversation too, but there's just too many folks on the line and not enough time with Stephanie and Trent. But if you hang on the line, we would love to send you the copies that you, whatever copies you'd like to get of Why We're Pro-Life. Hang on and Edgar will get it to you. Thank you so much, Mary. Bridget in Connecticut is next, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Bridget, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Stephanie and Trent.
Yes, good evening. Since we are in Respect Life Month, I feel that we need to really educate people more. And there's a forgotten group of people, the fathers of all these children who are conceived and then aborted, that I think that we need to pray for those men, and we need to maybe somehow start to make men more aware of their responsibilities and the consequences of their actions. It's not just a woman's issue. And I always feel when we talk about abortion that it is always a woman's issue.
Stephanie?
Yeah, you know, I think you make an important point. And I think one way to draw that message out in our parishes is to see if anyone is willing to share their testimony, a man who regrets involvement with abortion or who tried to stop a girlfriend or wife from having an abortion and she nonetheless went ahead with it. There's a great organization called Silent No More Awareness where women who regret abortion share their testimonies, but there are also men involved in that organization who also share their testimonies of losing children to abortion. So you could start by contacting that group, see if there's any men that you could even share a video of their testimony at your parish. And then as a result of that, it's possible that there's a man in your parish who's very convicted by that witness and that testimony and wants to share his own. And then I think the message will expand from there.
And again, Bridget, I'm going to leave it there because I don't want to leave folks wanting who want to talk with Stephanie and Trent. But we'd be happy to send you copies of the book, Why We're Pro-Life, as well. Just hang on if you'd like to get that. I'm going to go down to over to North Kentucky. Bonnie Ann listening on 740 AM. Bonnie Ann, we're glad you're here. We are a bit short of time, but go ahead if you can get it in with your question for Stephanie and Trent.
Yes, I had three little points to make. And the first point, I think, is eloquently said by Cardinal Lorenzo several years ago when he was interviewed on EWTN. Speaking on abortion, he said that life in you belongs to somebody else and you have no right to take it. And, you know, that makes us think a lot, even like, you know, when a woman is delivering, if something goes wrong, it's not for us to take the baby to save the mother, because the mother would be, if she dies, God forbid, she's naturally dying of a cause of bringing this beautiful person onto Earth.
Bonnie Ann, I'm going to let them comment. I know you got three of them, but I'm going to let them comment because I'm not exactly sure how long it will take to get to three. So we can come back to you. But either of you want to comment on that comment attributed to Cardinal Arinze that the life in your womb does not belong to you?
Well, right. Absolutely. Go ahead, Seth.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, when I think we talk about the right to life, what we're really saying is that life is a gift that's been bestowed on each of us by God. And therefore, if someone comes along and takes my life away, they're taking away the gift God gave me, and they have no right to take that from me. And so therefore, when a woman is pregnant, it's not only her body, but also another body that's involved in that situation. And that body, that preborn child's body, has been given the gift of life, and we don't have a right to take that gift away.
Bonnie Ann, I thank you for letting me do it this way, but yeah, go ahead. You said you got three. Let's have number two, and we'll see if we can get a response.
Okay. Number two was thinking that if a woman was delivering and, you know, the baby wasn't, and the woman wasn't doing well, that if she should die, God forbid, she would be dying of natural causes. But at the very last minute, if they decide to do away with the baby so the woman can live, I'm not even so sure she would want that in the end, because she would realize that, you know, what happened. And it's pretty hard to live with that, I would think. But it's just a matter of, is she dying of natural causes? And the Catholic Church has always said that. If she's dying of natural causes and this is what happened in birth, this is what happened. But I'm not sure, you know, taking the baby's life is the answer.
Either of you?
Well, what I would just say is we should not kill the child to save the mother, and we should not kill the mother to save her child. Catholic ethics is very clear. We should not kill one innocent person in order to save another innocent person, but we are allowed to intervene to stop a disease or some kind of condition, even if it might result in the unintended death of another person. Sometimes we can only save one person, for example. Though in the case you're describing, if someone is that late into pregnancy, the fastest way that to help in an emergency would be to do a cesarean section and to deliver the child. Even if it's somewhat early, at least you're giving the child a chance.
And I'm going to leave it there because I need a minute here to wrap up with Stephanie and Trent. Although Trent will be with us second hour, we'll also be joined by John Sorensen, the big boss. He's coming in. We're going to talk about why we are pro-life, the new booklet, with John for a few minutes. But Stephanie, I would like to get your maybe impression of how we're doing as a pro-life movement since Roe v. Wade got overturned. What do we need to work on? What do we need to get better at? What are we doing okay at and we should feel okay about?
Well, I would say what I think we're doing okay at is everyone's realizing the overturning of Roe is not the end of the story. I mean, the message time again I'm hearing from pro-lifers, leaders, organizations, and so forth is, this is just the beginning. Like, now the work really begins, and we have so much ahead of us. So that's the right thing. I think what we need to really work on is education, which is why this booklet is so important. And I encourage all the listeners and viewers to sign up to get their free copy and to help distribute it at their parishes. Because as states begin to change laws and either make their state more pro-life or, unfortunately, in some places less pro-life, that's where the debate is going to happen. And there are so many people that simply are uneducated as to the science of when life begins, what the pro-life response is in these tough cases like rape and so on and so forth. And so we really need to seize this moment to do as much education as possible. And the beginning really can be at our parishes with this great booklet.
If you'd like to get in touch with Stephanie Gray, maybe you'd like her for a speaker, or you want to find out more about her books or whatnot, you can go to loveunleasheslife.com. Okay, I'm never confident about which thing I'm supposed to say. Loveunleasheslife.com. Trent, I know you're coming back, so I'm just going to say goodbye to Stephanie. Stephanie, God bless you. Congratulations on the child that passed her first birthday and now is tearing up the house. And
yes.
We just love all the work you do. Thanks for everything you do, Stephanie.
You're welcome. I'm going to go breastfeed.
Well, Trent, did you want to make any announcements? No? Okay.
No, I'll be sticking around, and that's never my excuse to be heading out. So.
LoveUnleashesLife.com. Find out all about what Stephanie Gray Connors is doing and is up to. And if you'd like the booklet, or if you'd like to support us in getting it out to as many people as we're going to give away at least a million of them, go to whyweareprolife.com. Why we are pro-life. CatholicLife.com. Hang on, the big boss will be here, and Trent and I will be here too, right after this on Catholic Answers Live.